Usually when a pastor writes a sermon, he wants to make it so that everyone who listens can take the words and apply it to themselves. So usually it's very broad in meaning, so lots of people can hear it and use it. But I want to let you know today that that's not the case with this sermon. For this sermon, I wrote it just for you guys. I wrote it with you in mind, thinking about what it is that you might need to hear about how this text, these words of Jesus, are going to apply to you. And so what I'm hoping is that for a little bit, even though I know you have lots of friends and family here and you might be having a party later and so on, despite all of that, just kind of let it fade into the background for a little while and just be here. Pretend it's just us. Because Confirmation Sunday is a special day, and it's one of those days when you get a sermon that is written especially for you. I don't know exactly what the future holds for you guys. I have some guesses, though. High school is in your future, and that's going to be a totally different animal than the schooling you've received up to this point. I assume someday you'll probably have a career of some sort, although what you'll do, I have no idea. Or how long you'll do it, I have no idea. And that's okay. But one day that career will come to an end, and hopefully you'll retire. And then, I hope, at the end of all things, you die a good death. There are also some things that I'm not so sure about, but which I really, really hope are going to happen. I hope that you guys will come to like YFC and youth group events so you can keep hanging out with me. That would be great. Also, I hope you guys find loving, caring spouses and have lots of beautiful children. I hope that one day you grow really old and that you'll look back and say that you have lived a good, good life, and then you'll die that good death. But there is a little bit of uncertainty for this in me. I want those things to happen, especially those last two things, to live a good life and die a good death, but I'm not sure. I'm not positive. Because, I'll be honest, I have preached confirmation sermons to people, and for some of them, that was the last sermon that they've heard. Some of them came and took the Lord's Supper for the very first time, and that was it. That was the last time they've received the Lord's Supper. What I really hope is that you can take everything that you have learned from Jesus over the last 3 years and put it into action, to put it into practice. But maybe you can understand why there's just a little bit of uncertainty for me. What's going to happen? Will you be one of the ones who perhaps doesn't ever come back? I think many of the adults and the teens that I work with, when they are worried about falling away from Jesus, they picture something really big happening to them, something terrible, and then they think that'll be it. Like maybe they'll run into a teacher, and that teacher will confront them about their faith, and then they just won't be sure, and then they'll fall away. Or maybe they'll have some big, terrible tragedy happen, and then they just won't feel the same. While that's the case, I don't think that's what Jesus is pointing out in our words from John 15 today. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." Behind my garage, there are some flowers planted. At least, I assume they're flowers. I didn't actually plant them. They were there when I moved into the house. They were planted by some previous owner. And the other reason I say I assume they're flowers is because I've never actually seen them flower before. I don't know what kind they are. My wife and I talk about it all the time, what kind of flower we think they are. She thinks they're lilies. I think they're irises. But I don't think we'll ever know, because they never produce flowers. And it's not because some really big thing happened to them. It's a combination of a bunch of little things. Behind my garage, they don't get a ton of sunlight. There's a giant maple tree that grows over the top of them, so they don't get a lot of rain. The squirrels really like to dig in that area, no matter how many of them I get rid of. And there's always bugs crawling all over. And so, if there was just one of those things going on, I think they could probably still produce flowers. But all together, and probably even more things that I don't know about, means that it's all they can do just to sprout out of the ground each year. And I think that it's a little bit like that in life for you. It's true. There will be big, terrible things that happen in your life. There will be tragedies. Maybe you've already experienced some. But are those the things that cause people to fall away? I think it's a combination of a bunch of little things. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of things that work together, that chip away slowly at your Christian life until you don't have any Christian life. And then what happens? The Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So have any of my former congregation or former confirmation students, perhaps people that you know, have any of them been cut off? I don't know. Only God knows. But I hope not. And I hope you realize just how important this fruit that Jesus is talking about is. Because it's all these little things added together that work together. Tiny things. Like one day finding that sports have suddenly become the top priority in your life or your grades. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is super kind and loving, but they obviously don't believe the same things about God that you believe. Maybe it's that cool older friend who teaches you to do things that make you feel really mature, but they're anything but godly. And I know a little bit that sounds like a slogan or a list from a bad public advertisement video or something like that, but I've seen it. Maybe you have too. I bet your parents have. It's all the little things added together. Tiny thing after tiny thing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. That's what Jesus wants. The most important person that has ever existed and will ever exist wants you to remain in him. And I know Jesus is using this really cool vine branches picture here, but just the concept of what he's talking about is so cool. So we'll talk about the vine branches, but just think about how awesome this concept is, that Jesus is the one who brings you into himself. And maybe he did that at your baptism, maybe he did that later on through the Word of God. However it happened, I know that it is Jesus who has brought you into himself. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Or if we're using Jesus' picture and kind of expanding on it a little bit, you, a wild branch, were grafted in among them and share in the rich sap. Although you guys don't have the power to come to Jesus, you do have the power to leave Jesus. And that's what he's warning you about here. It's what I'm trying to warn you about too. Right now, you don't want to leave Jesus. But how about in like 2 years, when it's been a long time since you've been to church? When you have a lot of friends and they're not going around breaking the law, but they're not necessarily doing things that please God either. What about when your parents start caring more about how much you do in sports and school than how much you do from God's word? Little things, bit by bit, tiny thing after tiny thing. And then someday, leaving Jesus just doesn't seem so hard or really, really so bad. So these words, I hope they can be encouraging to you. This concept that Jesus is trying to give us, I hope it can really be an encouragement for you. Because whether you remain connected to the vine is up to Jesus. And he wants you to be connected to himself. And so when he gives you this picture, this concept, it's fascinating. That the you in me and I in you that he's talking about, those two things are happening at the exact same time. So that you are strengthened by Jesus to remain connected to him, and then you cling to him. It creates this infinite, never-ending circle of Jesus' grace. So that Jesus gives you strength, And the more strength you receive, the more you cling to Jesus. And Jesus gives you strength, and the more strength you receive, the more you cling to Jesus. And Jesus gives you strength, and the more strength you receive, the more you cling to Jesus, and so on. It never ends. Jesus doesn't let you go. And how does he accomplish this? It's exactly what we're doing right now. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus says that when he remains in you and when his word remains in you, those two things are exactly the same. Why do you think we had you pick out a confirmation passage? Or why do you think over the last 3 years you've had to memorize so many Bible passages? Why do you think that we've gone through the catechism twice? Why do you think we had an examination and so on? It's because when you have Jesus' teachings, his word, then you also have Jesus. And that's what it's all about. I really enjoy woodworking. You guys probably know this. I really enjoy it. And every year, I make you guys some presents. And it's always the same gift. But it's a good time for me to sit and think about you as I make the gifts, to think about whatever text it is I'm going to be preaching on, what it is you might need to hear, and so on. But I actually don't want to talk too much about that. I want to tell you about my least favorite part of woodworking. Sanding. Sanding stinks. You do the same thing over and over and over again. You got to make sure you're always going in the same direction with the grain, and it's just boring. You're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. The thing is, though, is it's so important, because if you don't sand, then you have to deal with like splinters in your hand. The project probably is going to look really unfinished. It's the sanding that like smooths everything out and brings it all together that makes it look finished and complete and nice. And it's so important. If you don't do it, then you can really tell. And I think that's what confirmation class is like. It's like sanding. You do the same things over and over and over again. For 3 years, you studied God's word. For 3 years, you studied Luther's small catechism. You did the same thing again and again and again. And it wasn't always fun. Sometimes it was boring despite my best efforts to make it exciting. But at the same time, it was important. It was through this that Jesus grew you, through this continual, repetitive action, talking about the same Bible topics again and again and again, that he changed you, that he strengthened your connection to the vine. Again and again and again, the same thing over and over again, and yet it's so important. And today, for you, that connection bears some fruit. Because in a little bit, you guys are going to come up here, and you are going to promise that you would rather remain in Jesus no matter what. And you are going to promise in no uncertain terms that you would rather die than fall away from the vine. And that is fantastic. That is a beautiful fruit of faith that honors God and shows that you are Jesus' disciple. But I so hope that you know you aren't done. That this isn't the end. It's not a graduation. This is just another start. What we have here is an opportunity for you to produce fruit, but yes, God wants you to produce fruit after this. Like later today when you're hanging out with friends and family. Jesus wants you to produce fruit when you serve those people who are in your life unselfishly, just like he does. Jesus wants you to produce fruit when you come and study the Bible, when you come to worship to sing his praises, when you show your friends that you truly are Jesus' disciple. So take all of that, everything that you've learned over the last 3 years, and put it into practice, put it into action. Today is just a start. It's important, but it is not the end. There's one more thing that I want to leave you guys with. Do you know when Jesus said these words from John 15? It's a rhetorical question. Don't answer it. But it was on Maundy Thursday, the night on which Jesus was betrayed. He said it just moments before he would go off by himself and pray for you. Just hours before he would be arrested and then given into the hands of sinful men. Less than a day before he would suffer and die for your sins. It was on this night that he He did something really, really special in giving himself to you in an entirely unique way. It was on this night that he invited you to partake of his body and blood. And in a little bit, you get to do that for the first time. You get to do that knowing the incredible grace that Jesus gives you, and that it is one more way that he shows that he remains in you. So, my friends, go and be the vine's branches. Amen.